Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It is a Reaction Monday here in the Loop and all the way across Sports Radio 610. And so let's react to the breaking news in the NFL right now. If you weren't listening just a second ago, the Tennessee Titans have fired head coach Brian Callahan. He is indeed the first head coach fired in the 2025 NFL season. And I will turn to our NFL head coach record correspondent, Figgy Fig. Brian Callahan in his just over how many seasons? Just over two seasons, or just over?
I think it was
one
was
season,
it two?
Actually, because he was a rookie last year. Rookie head coach. What was his record?
Ooh, I want to say it was 4-18,
4-19. I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 4-19 as a head coach.
That is nasty business.
I didn't realize it was that nasty.
Win percentage is .174. His scoring margin
that ain't great.
Negative 17.
And that offense did not look good at any point.
They never had a real identity. And he came in as an offensive coordinator, right?
From the Bengals.
Previously with the Bengals, which probably could have told you a little bit of something.
Yeah.
To be fair, not really a well-built team.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, one of the things tangentially about that Titans team is this weekend I started looking and I was like, huh. Maybe the idea of porting in offensive linemen was not going to be helpful. However, that was just super poor coaching all the way around. Because Dan Moore, who they went and acquired this offseason, hasn't looked great. Now, he's been injured, but the guy that I think I was very interested in coming from the Lions, Kevin Zeitler, hasn't looked all that great with them this year either. So I was like, ooh, maybe my priors on the idea of going acquiring free agent linemen was wrong. Mm-hmm. Now the Titans are just bad. Like, I feel like that's where I'll land more than anything. However, do you view this as a good thing or a bad thing just generally? Because he was bad, and I think that was very clear. But anytime that you get rid of a bad head coach, there is an opportunity to get a good head coach.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. You know, I wish they would have kept him.
Let's talk about it, Nashville. Yeah. Are you sure that he was that bad?
I wish they would have kept him. I'm serious.
Come on, Amy, what you doing? Hey,
come
you reacted
on, Amy,
too quick.
You disappointed me again. But listen.
Give him a chance, Amy.
This is a true, the king is dead, long live the king, you know, because you start to wonder. The AFC South, if you haven't noticed already, is on the upswing except for Tennessee.
What?
Yeah.
You mean the 5-1 Colts and the 4-1 Jaguars?
I'll say this again.
What?
And make sure you're sitting down. The Colts have the best record in the AFC.
It still sounds wrong.
It sounds wrong, but it's accurate. The Jaguars are going to be.
It's only been, what, like 10 years since Luck?
Yeah, that's right. The Jaguars, and I've said it multiple times, I was wrong on Liam Cohen, apparently. They're going to be a bit of an issue. They're not going to Jaguar it all the way down. They're going to lose some games, but this is a division that's on the upswing. The Titans, if they get it right, this could be a problem. This could be a big problem, which leads to the question, you know, who would scare you? Who would you love if they hired? Because I've already seen Bill Belichick. Please hire him. Please hire Bill Belichick.
I actually think I agree
with
Bill Belichick. And it's not because of the UNC thing. I think he's failing at North Carolina for a very particular reason, which is a level of hubris with him and Michael Lombardi going to the college level and just not understanding the space. That's one of those things that we've seen many a times. People think, oh, well, I've been at a higher level, so I know. No. This is an entirely different ecosystem. You have to treat differently. But even in the NFL, Bill Belichick was losing his fastball.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that he did so well at the NFL level, yes, he had Tom Brady. He was great at finding a market inefficiency and zigging when everybody was zagging.
Yeah.
He was at the forefront of schematic advantage. he was at the forefront of figuring things out and figuring other teams out game plan wise. And he lost that in addition to being a bad personnel guy. All of that sounds like it would be awful with the Titans.
Yes.
Right? They've been bad at personnel. You bring a bad personnel head coach, that's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in an inability to be effective when it comes to schematics and being ahead of the curve, especially with an offensive, what I think will be an offensive bent if you're hiring a head coach because you have a young quarterback. Bringing in a Bill Belichick does not seem like it fits there. But interestingly enough, the name that scares me a little bit, I don't know if it should, scare me the absolute most, is actually a defensive head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Brian Flores, who is currently the DC with the Minnesota Vikings. Last time he was the head coach, he was with the Dolphins. That dude can coach the hell out of some defense. And I think that he knows how to run a program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested. Well, I would not be interested, obviously, but I think that he is a hot name. He's been very good as a DC. I think that he could get their defense playing better football pretty quickly. And then you talk about getting them to a place where they're not just an absolute, you know, bleep show. That in and of itself, in the AFC South, as you mentioned, as they are, you know, all the boats are rising.
Mm-hmm.
That's a frustration if you're the Houston Texans.
So anybody else? I have one that's just hit me like a ton of bricks in the break.
There's a couple more, but we can bounce back and forth here, play a little word tennis.
Clint Kubiak.
One of those for sure.
Clint Kubiak would be very scary to me for a number of reasons, because I'd be mad, first of all, that a Kubiak is coaching the Titans. But I could see that connection from the Titans' perspective to the Kubiak name and the Kubiak family. Gary Kubiak would still be some sort of advisor and be able to teach him and work him. He's a really good offensive coordinator. He's been really good at working with young quarterbacks offensive-minded head coach, which I was actually just texting with a buddy of mine. You would think that they might go with a defensive-minded head coach because, you know, Callahan. But I don't think that's going to be the case. Not with a young quarterback.
Young quarterback that you spend a number one overall pick on, and he hasn't even given you much that would say he's not it. He just hasn't been given a platform. You want to give him a platform.
Yeah. Clint Kubiak would be a worry for me.
Agree. The only thing that I look at is he's really young in this.
Yeah.
Now, that's worked for teams.
You got Gary.
That also could be a stabilizing force. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is a way. And I would obviously be concerned just because I think the schematics would be good there with Clint. In a similar vein with the dude who has a little bit more under his belt, I am afraid of the possibility of Joe Brady, who is the Bills offense coordinator. The phrase falling up keeps coming to mind, even though it's not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to get stronger the higher he's gone up, right? Obviously, he was really great with that
LSU
2019 team, which is one of the best college football teams that I've seen with my very own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets to the NFL level and he's looked better and better. He took over for Ken Dorsey and somehow made that a Bills offense, took them to another level. Assuming that he has the chops to be a head coach and to organize things, you know he can design an offense in multiple different facets. That is the thing that gets me, that I go, oh, okay. Because they have some talented players, but getting a quarterback in the right space, helping him maximize what he does, I think Joe Brady has done that on a couple of occasions. That would be very scary, because if there's one thing that you look at an opposing team and you're like, I don't want them to have, is a quarterback that they know that they can build around. Everything else we can figure out. If we got that quarterback, that's one of the hardest things to get settled. And if you get a Joe Brady who's like, oh, this Cam Ward thing, we can make it go, that's going to be a problem in the AFC South.
Let me ask you're very familiar with, and I don't know.
Don't say the one that I think.
Know if it's going to scare me or not, but I think it'd be a good transition. Offensive mind would have a good coordinator, maybe a young coordinator to help him along the way. Has won a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy.
God, I hate him so much.
That would kind of scare me a little bit.
I don't think it should. Now,
when has he lost?
The scary portion of this. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's had some bad years. Well, he's had bad years, but then he's also walked into pretty well-established circumstances. He's not had to build this necessarily.
Sure.
For whatever that is worth. I think if he comes in, and unless there's some level stated, I think he would want to be the offensive play caller, and his office is from 2008.
I don't think he would. I think that, you know, the stabilizing offensive mind that can work with the quarterbacks, work with the offensive side, and then bring in, you know, the offensive coordinator or whatever. Those are the two that came into mind. Clint Kubiak, on one extreme, Mike McCarthy on the very opposite.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, now he does seem to run an interesting ship. Like, he seems to like have good processes to some degree. I just really don't like him as an offensive, as a play caller. But you're right. Like, right now, anybody that will demonstrate a level of competence and not make that a bleep show is interesting because of the way that the AFC South has kind of taken a step up. Can I give you a couple of more ones that I'm just going to speed run these a little bit more so and see, would this kind of, would this be some level of concern for you or not really? If you're just joining us, Bill Callahan was fired, and he was the first head coach fired.
Brian.
Bill was, I don't know if he's fired or not, but Brian, thank you, the son, who was actually the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, fired, first head coach fired in this season. All right, so we're talking about who could possibly replace him in that role. Cliff Kingsbury.
I saw that.
Uh-huh.
I was looking online. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't either.
He's done it.
And he's doing the right job right now.
He's had a measure of success. I think I might end up being a little happy if they hired him.
I think I might as well, because I'm still not entirely sure that he has gotten this thing figured out of how to have an offense that builds
and lead the program,
continues through the entirety of a season. And you're right, like, be able to do that, be the play caller, get that effect while also leading the program. Now, maybe having done it once and then also now working under someone like a Dan Quinn gives him a better standpoint to do that. I don't know that I'd be as afraid of some of these other names, which, funny enough, haven't done it in the way that he has with Cliff Kingsbury. Do you even think this is a possibility with Steve Spagnuolo?
Oh, yeah. I even though he keeps saying no, 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 and he's had other offers and options, you know, at some point, maybe he's just going to kind of see that, you know, there
let me give it a shot.
There's a possibility there. I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's a very high possibility. The other name that came to mind for me is maybe, you know, he's anytime there's an opening, you just mention his name. And maybe this is the job that gets his attention.
Bill O'Brien.
Matt Campbell.
Oh. Matt Campbell, Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Really bring the Cyclones fully into the AFC South.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, because I honestly have not really thought about what his feelings.
He's so respected in the
NFL.
He's
had so many opportunities to jump, and he just doesn't.
Yeah.
How about this as a name? Because I think this is a dude who absolutely wants another head coaching job. And so it is a retread of sorts. Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh would be, okay, now we can go into the whole defensive-minded guys. Saleh would definitely be one that you could put there. And I think he would obviously, different environment than the Jets. You know, obviously, who knows what the ownership, but he would, I think he's going to get interviewed. He'll probably get interviewed.
Yeah, yeah, that feels like that'd be the case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Brian Callahan, no longer the head coach with the Titans. I still haven't seen who the interim will be. I see you 3-4-6. Bobby, have you heard of Bobby Slowick? Can I interest you in one Bobby Slowick?
Hell, this dude, David Culley, bring him back.
Hey, the first couple ones I was thinking about was Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels.
Yes and yes.
Josh McDaniels.
Please hire either or both of those guys.
Bill O'Brien getting all the love for jobs now today. But yeah, that's a team that, yeah, I'm looking around and I go, yeah, the thing that I rest my laurels on is, even if they make a good head coaching hire, are we sure that they will do the things to build the talent? Like, admittedly, they knew they were in a bad place, so they cut back on some talent. They've already kind of traded. Like, remember, we talked about Brownlee, the cornerback, being traded early on in this. I think by week three, they had traded that guy, which kind of indicated and intimated where they were. And there's two guys on that team that I look at is really good. How quickly we've seen in the NFL teams turn their fortunes around, even talent-wise. I do wonder if they get the right head coach, would they be able to also pair that coach with the talent necessary to compete?
No, that's the big question there. I do also think, you know, one thing that Robert Saleh might have going for him is he might not mess with the offense. And he knows the West Coast offense, which is probably something that Cam Ward could thrive at. So it might be like a mini D'Amico situation in terms of, I'll run the defense, I'm going to get in an offensive coordinator, even though obviously D'Amico is a little more involved now for obvious reasons. Get an offensive coordinator that can kind of run the show for a young quarterback. You have to have with a young quarterback like that, I think you have to have an offensive mind. Robert Saleh might be the one exception because he'll sort of just let the offensive guy do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I had to put the one that I'm most afraid of, the possibility of, it's absolutely Joe Brady.
Mm-hmm.
It's Joe Brady. I think after that, Clint Kubiak absolutely up there. just somebody that gets Cam Ward into a place where you go, okay, that's a guy that we're going to contend with for 10 years in this division. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where it gets scary.
It gets scary. I mean, Joe Brady, I agree with you. Clint Kubiak is a little scary to me. I think he's really, really good. And maybe Matt Campbell, if he's interested. Those three would be tough for me.
I like the bit that's happening here on a text line of, like, how can we sabotage? Yeah. Like, I wish I would have known. I would have started putting down feelers up in Nashville to try and...
Jeff Saturday.
Let's see, can he jump back up here? He doesn't have the same attachment as he does with the Colts, which is why that happened. Deion Sanders, Greg Olsen.
I said, get Eddie George.
Eddie George is having a little right blow now. Up right now.
Hey,
he got Bowling Green playing better football in college.
James Franklin.
He is looking for a job. That is fair.
Wade Phillips. Since they should lean into the history and just hire Wade Phillips.
Dude, I wish you hadn't said
that.
That
would actually make me mad.
I know. I wish you hadn't said that.
Lean into the history, man. Don't put his dad hat on.
Good Lord, they're going to end up hiring him.
Yeah, they are.
He probably tweeting about that job right now. Hey.
Here we go. This is the answer.
Still here.
From the 346. Times to hire, John McClain. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Reaction Monday. Coming up next, about that time where we turn things over to the man himself, Figgy Fig, for the mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so what I got, I'm going to try to set y'all up and get y'all to argue about something.
Oh, no.
That's going to be really hard to do.
And this has something to do with a little Hennessy.
Oh, no.
I'm going to bring it up, man. I waited for this. I ain't bring it up. I'm going to bring it up now.
I already know what this is, and we will argue. An argument is guaranteed. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. So appreciate everybody listening, wherever you listening from. And I waited long to bring this up.
Because you're an instigator.
No, I'm not. I just
you don't hit him though.
I felt like this is great content right here.
Oh, okay.
So remember last week when one LeBron James, when he tweeted something, he tweeted a little preview of a video,
mm-hmm.
and it had all the makings of the decision.
Yep.
The one he did back in, what, 2010, 2011, somewhere mm-hmm. around there. And
it was 2010.
Yeah, 2010. And he said, he tweeted the decision too, and kind of left it up for everybody to kind of assume a little bit. I think we had Ryan right here.
Show needed therapy.
Crying. Yeah, he was sitting there crying.
He needed therapy.
He was saying he's going to wear his Lakers jersey tomorrow and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron said, we're going to announce it, 11 o'clock
mm-hmm.
tomorrow or something like that. And come to find out, it was a Hennessy ad.
Yep.
It was an ad to let everybody know, hey, I'm getting a lot of money from Hennessy now.
Mm-hmm.
And Lopez, you didn't really take too fine of it. I think you was very critical of LeBron James over this.
I was.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And as another Lakers fan was kind of pissed off about it, to the point he decided to sue LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. What?
Because he came out of nowhere and decided to buy some tickets. I think he spent over $800 on these tickets. I don't know if it was the last home game.
I think it was $857, something like that.
Yeah, so he bought some tickets for that price. And here is the story of the Lakers fan suing LeBron James. And this is courtesy of ABC 5 News in Cleveland.
A Lakers fan so upset with LeBron James, he's suing the basketball legend. On Monday, LeBron teased an announcement. A lot of people thought it might be a retirement announcement. Instead, it was an advertisement for Hennessy Whiskey. Post mimicked his 2010 TV special. Cavs fans, you remember this. James announced he was leaving Cleveland, heading to South Beach. So a lifelong Laker fan saw the tease and spent hundreds of dollars on a ticket to see LeBron play the Cavs March 31st of 2026, thinking it would be one of LeBron's last games. But then, when he learned the announcement was an ad, he sued LeBron, claiming he was deceived out of hundreds of dollars. We spoke with him today about that decision.
I'm not requesting any sort of emotional distress or anything like that. I feel like it's a very reasonable case. I'm only asking for what I fought for, what I paid. I'm not asking for any sort of inconvenience or anything like that. So I'm not trying to strike it rich here, you know?
Yeah, he says he wants LeBron to pay him back the money he spent on the tickets. So he's suing for $865.66 for the two tickets he bought.
You know why he sounds so damn reasonable, quote unquote? Because he knows that this is a stupid ass case. You know that he don't got nothing to stand on.
No, you're wrong. He absolutely has something to stand on. He absolutely deceptive advertising practices is a real thing.
Who's advertising here?
LeBron James and Hennessy. But here's the thing.
And they're advertising Hennessy.
No, here's the thing. And this is the problem that Reggie. This is the mistake Reggie made. I tweeted to Dem Boys on Wessie, our group text.
It's not a tweet.
Yes, it is. I texted to our group text, Dem Boys on Wessie, which I like to say. I hope they all sue his ass or something like that. Because I have defended LeBron James. I'm a big fan of LeBron James. It's impossible not to have him in the argument as the best or second best player of all time. It's not about LeBron James as a player. To me, it's about, and you wonder. And you wonder why people are you're a human eye roll to a lot of people. And in terms of the case itself, I never said that this is a case that can win. I said, I hope. Just give him the headache. I hope they all sue his ass.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be that much of a headache. He's got plenty of money for lawyers, and he'll win that case.
I know,
and he'll probably get lawyers' fees out of it too.
He'll have to ask questions about it. Everybody's going to be talking about it. Do you think
he's actually going to show up for the court case?
No, I didn't say that. I said he's going to be asked questions about it. He's going to be a headache. It's going to be talked about. It's on the news already. Figgy just played it. Like LeBron James, the greatest or maybe the second greatest player of all time. But he's a human eye roll, and this is why.
So, Reggie, what is your – I mean, do you have an issue with this, young man doing this? Or are you fine with the way LeBron did this whole advertisement?
Okay, so those are two things. I think the whole idea of going out here and I'm going to get these tickets early is that you are taking the risk that you might be wrong. Mm-hmm. Now you are trying to mitigate that by saying, I should not be liable for any of the risk because I interpreted something incorrectly. No, you got to hold that.
Did
right?
Like, you, though?
Yes. Yes, you
ultimately
did.
Ultimately, you did.
There was a lot of people in the moment, myself included, that was like, he out here doing it again. You're talking about LeBron is a human eye roll. He has done this type of stuff before where he has been corny. And I completely agree that I thought this was corny.
So let me ask you something.
You say, and you thought? I agree with you in that, right? Mm-hmm. The whole idea of LeBron clearly wants to be liked, right? That's very evident. Mm-hmm. How do you not see? In fact, you do see. You know that the decision was something that very much turned you into a villain in a way that you did not want to be. Mm-hmm. Why do you do this again? And honestly, I kind of understand why you do this again, because it got the attention. We have moved into a space where attention matters so much, even if it's negative. In fact, sometimes even more so if it's negative attention. I just didn't think that he would be the one that'd be like, I'm fine with trading on negative attention because he seems to want to be liked so damn much.
But here's the thing. You said that you were among the people who said, come on. It's clearly going to be an advertisement.
Yeah.
Here's two things, though. Nobody knew that. And there were a lot of people.
Nobody knew that he was going to retire either. You can't play two sides of that.
Nobody knew. You wouldn't have bet your house that was going to be an advertisement.
No. Correct.
All right. That's number one. Number two, there were also a lot of people. This isn't about $865. This is about $865 times what? 100,000? 500,000 people? That we're doing. Ron was sitting right here saying, I got to get me some tickets.
There aren't 500,000 tickets for the crypto arena.
No. For any game. Ron was talking about getting a game here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, getting tickets for a game here when he came. Like, so there were a lot of people spending a lot of money thinking, I'm going to get ahead of the curve before the prices go up.
That you just bought tickets to see an NBA game where LeBron James will likely play.
Do you feel like the way the ticket prices went up, do you feel like they kind of had something in this too, because everything kind of went up a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's a second-hand market, right?
Yeah, that's second-hand market. No, what I'm saying is you wonder. This is why he's an eye roll, and I hope they all 500,000, 600,000, whatever it is. People all over the country were saying, oh, when's he coming to Utah? When's he coming to Houston? When's he coming to whatever? I got to get me the tickets for those games. And they were spending money based on false advertising.
And that's not how false advertising works. There's a significantly higher standard.
But what I'm saying is you could bring it to court.
You could bring it to court. The beauty of America is you could be as dumb as you want to be, right? You can waste all your money in the way that you want to. And so, yeah, you can hope that all them people sue. They're just going to be wasting their money and their time. The thing that I do find more interesting about this is just what this says about the attention economy of what we have, just generally and what we're doing, that someone like LeBron that cares so much about being liked would go, the obvious negative attention that this is going to bring is worth it. Mm-hmm. And Hennessy around it. Because again, LeBron is one thing. That's the emotions of it. Hennessy is a brand that's trying to sell you something. And they know by doing this, they're going to get nothing but negative attention on their brand name.
Yes.
Typically, you would think a brand goes, no, I do not want negative attention. They signed up for this wholesale because they know, negative attention or not, the attention matters so much more than any other time. And that's a little scary for me, to be completely honest. Just a little.
Yeah, some companies want that outrageous marketing, that negative marketing, because
that's the spell the name right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's on steroids now.
Yeah, I know. Yes. They just want it on. But again, and some people are saying, you know, he has zero to stand on. I never said any of these people were going to win. I said, I hope they all sue his ass. Give him another headache. Make him spend time talking to the media and hearing these reports and all this other stuff, because it was that dumb and that thirsty.
Yeah. I'm glad I got the argument out. Out of the group chat.
Them boys on Wessie.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So Mike Tomlin, we talked about Mike Tomlin, his big win against the Browns and all that stuff. Apparently, he talked today, and he was asked about the Browns trading Joe Flacco in the division to the mm-hmm. Cincinnati Bengals. And I had to double check this, man. I thought it was one of those deep fakes. Or whatever, what you call it? The AI?
I think those are deep fakes.
Deep fakes?
Yeah, you were in there.
Yeah, I thought it was one of those for a minute, but this is what he had to
it's
say.
Real?
It's real. Okay. Yeah, a couple people tweeted it. So this is what Mike Tomlin had to say about the Browns trade, Joe Flacco, in the division.
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
There you have it. That's Andrew awesome. Berry, a lot smarter than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Apparently not, but except they're not. Wasn't Tomlin also the one that didn't want to hurt Anthony Richardson because he didn't want to face Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of respect for Joe Flacco. He told his guys, keep him upright or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was last year, right? Yeah, that was last year. I forgot about that.
He just has a lot of respect for Flacco. Yeah.
Yeah, I just – and maybe I'm just not thinking on it. The idea of Mike Tomlin, like, kind of openly clowning the Browns.
Yeah, their GM.
That's kind of –
Yeah, he must be smarter than me. And he put a name on the bullet, too. Andrew Berry must be smarter than us.
Yeah.
He's Teflon, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's Teflon. I ain't even mad at it. Go ahead and use that.
Steelers fans are eating it up.
Use that if you got it, big fella.
It up.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah, so salute to him, man.
It must be nice to be like to have those four wins. Because if that was 2-4, you think Tomlin still says that?
Yeah.
Tomlin might, but a lot of coaches wouldn't.
Tomlin is very honest.
Yeah.
I mean, certain stuff, he could be very blunt and honest about it.
That was great. I could hear that again.
And to be fair, the idea that the Bengals went and traded for Joe Flacco, does that not feel like moving dirt around?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it is,
like,
man.
Jake Browning absolutely isn't. Like, you couldn't keep doing that, and Joe Flacco is a step up, but it's not a step up that actually gets you to do anything.
If you look at the numbers, though, it was damn near similar. I know these with the Browns, but their numbers was damn near similar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is kind of moving dirt around. And I think their quarterback was just so rough. They had to do something.
Yeah.
And clearly the way it all went around, is they were calling everybody like, hey, can we have that backup quarterback? Hey, can I have your backup quarterback? Mm-hmm. They were going around. You could tell they were scrambling a little bit.
And you know who I know feels great about that? Jake Browning. Did you see when they interviewed Jake Browning about it? About like the idea that the Bengals traded for Joe Flacco? He's talking about, and you know, obviously he seems to be playing this about as well as you can. You know, you do your best, but you know, they got to go in a different direction. As he's doing this on the video right behind him, Joe Flacco just changing his shirt. Just, yep, that's me. Take your job.
Yeah.
Here you go, buddy. All right, I got to give a special salute and a shout out to MTV.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if y'all seen this news, but MTV shut down their music channel after 40 years of being active.
Wait, what music channel? Like MTV?
Oh, they did have some.
They had a set. They had a separate music channel?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they, I guess, officially shut it down.
That's sad.
So MTV overall, I know they weren't playing music videos how they used to play it back in the day. But
that's
officially
a chapter of my life right there, man.
What does play?
I skipped a lot of classes watching MTV.
What does play on MTV now? Because like
Ridiculousness.
Is it still? Because I felt like a decade ago that was like, oh well, that's the joke is that there's just these two shows on repeat.
Yeah.
And it's been so long, I still don't know.
Yeah.
I caught the Wayans brothers one time on MTV. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all are all over the place at this point.
The way that I will bring this back to sports is it's kind of incredible. The things that you looked at as powerhouses of television, they are all just holding on, just doing stuff like playing reruns of shows from 20 and 30 years ago. And the only thing that moves needles in TV, live sports, baby.
Yep.
Live sports. In fact, NBC is bringing back their sports channel after killing it off just because they bought so many sports. And like, oh, well, we can put this back instead.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And MTV, like when they had Live Aid way back in the day, I mean, they had Super Bowl ratings. I mean, they was ridiculous, some of the things. Now they're just like, they're barely an app.
Yeah. The only thing the TV that makes things shake is if you got a ball or a puck of some sorts that makes things go.
Yeah. And then I want to give a special thanks for nothing, man.
I like this.
Thanks for nothing, man.
Is this going to be a continuing segment? Because I like the thanks for nothing.
I hope so. So George Springer for the Blue Jays, he was going against a team we all hate.
Mm-hmm.
And
not Lopez. Lopez seems to be all right.
You
had me on the Dodgers.
You like the Dodgers and the
That's
Mariners.
What you're rooting for. You're rooting for Mariners Dodgers.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, man. Man. I had to put a sock on the door for Lopez watching that game. But George Springer, he went up to bat. It was the first pitch, first bat.
Mm-hmm.
And he did what he used to do over there at Minute Maid, which is now Dyke. He did this.
In baseball, which showed every bit of that in the division series. And on the first pitch, George Springer lights the fire.
So salute to George Springer and thanks for nothing, man, because they lost 3-1.
Yep.
With all the advantages that it felt like you could have in the world.
And after all the runs they scored and I saw that, I thought they were going to win like 11-0.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's on. Seattle win for a long bleeping night.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I did look at it. It was like Seattle could still win that series, but I was like, they starting 0-1. It's going to be 1-0.
Yeah.
1-0 to the Blue Jays, and apparently not. Apparently
thanks for nothing, man.
Yeah.
I feel weird doing that to George Springer because I still, even with that, you know, that bald spot that's showing up in his head, it still makes me smile thinking about George
Springer. I almost didn't recognize him, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking like, who is that?
He got the roof opening up, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
Who's the old bald guy?
Like, why is it that sports will show us our mortality so much?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it other things in life, maybe not so, but you see that dude, it's like, I remember when he was coming up, it's like, damn.
He was a kid.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, there's a little bit of Figgy's mixtape. Always love getting that 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. It'll be Bajani and Clint. But before we get there, I did ask a question I wasn't able to get to, but I want to circle back around to it. Because I've been thinking about this Astros team, and obviously because of the baseball with the Mariners and everything. Is the foundation of this Astros roster problematic for the next year already? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun Reaction Monday here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. And some of that is because you did not have the stress of having to watch your football team play this weekend. Really, most teams. Obviously, no Astros, which I'm not happy about necessarily, but understood, right? You had a pretty nice weekend, I think, as we head into what is going to be a very telling week football-wise for the Texans. But, yeah, the baseball, just kind of thinking about various things and talking about the Astros earlier as we did. I came to a question here, Lopez, which I'm not like it's novel, but it's going to be important as you try and figure out what you need to do to try and be playing baseball at this time of year. You need to figure out what your foundation of this roster is for the next year. But is it inherently flawed even heading into next season already before we get to any moves, any decisions that are made for this team? And the reason why I ask this, Lopez, is who would you consider probably the two foundational pieces of
position players?
Yes, position players. Because fair enough, there is a third foundational piece, and his name is Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
Right? But position players, who would you consider to be the two foundational pieces?
I would say Jose Altuve.
Yes.
And Yordan Alvarez.
Correct. I think that those are probably the two. You probably could throw in
maybe a little Jeremy Peña sprinkle.
Yep. Which, I mean, especially with the leap that he took this season, 100%. But he's nice and easy. The uncomfortable thing, and I was listening to Clutch City Territory podcast, which shout out to Chandler Rome and shout out to Adam Spillane, who was on with them. And one of the things that they made mention of, which they're absolutely correct, those two guys, they're both DHs at this point, if we're going to be entirely honest.
Right.
About the way that they operate. Like, if you were to have your druthers, they're both DHs. And for one of those, that's very easy. They've made that very clear with Yordan that they would prefer if he is just a DH. Jose Altuve, we had this conversation early on in the season, and it only seemed to bear out as it went. You can't have him playing second base all the time. Not sure if you could have him playing left field all the time. Like, the days of 150 baseball games out of 162 game season are probably should be done or might need to be done to maximize what you get out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably needs to be DHing to kind of keep his legs as well.
Yeah.
But the problem is, Lopez, I don't know if you know this, in the American League or with the Universal DH, there's only one of them.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder, like, does that create an inherent flaw with what you're doing? Because both of those guys are going to be on this roster. Ain't no way you're changing anything there. Is that the starting flaw with what this roster is and how they have to build
it? I think there's a lot of places where they need to look and make a tough decision. You know, Carlos Correa could be a foundational piece for this club. So there's some options there. But the way I would look at it is you have two third basemen that you want to play.
Yeah.
Two shortstops. You want to play.
Well, who are the two shortstops?
If Correa is not a third baseman.
Fair.
No second baseman.
That you feel great about. Unless they're... I'm interested to hear what their idea is with Altuve. Like, is this going to be a thing where the injuries force them to second base and they're actually going to go back away from that plan? Or are we going to continue the Jose Altuve at left field plan?
Right.
That's going to be something that would be interesting to see.
But and that's where I was going left.
Sorry.
No real left fielder unless you're counting Jose Altuve.
Well, yeah. Or whatever you have to play Yordan at left field.
Mm-hmm. But I was saying, no real.
Right.
No one you're really comfortable with. So you have log jams at certain positions and completely unknown at other positions.
Right.
So that to me is the flaw. Like the way you had to construct this team the way you did because you still had a chance during the regular season. So you had to bring in Correa.
Yeah.
You had to play him at third base. You had to play obviously Dubon all over the place, but even second base and shortstop and all that. You really didn't have a choice But now that you've made these choices because of the injury to Paredes and some others, now you got these log jams and vacancies.
Yeah. And I think that there's obviously going to be some work. That's what an offseason is for. Mm-hmm. But some of these, right, you can make some decisions. And I see you 832 saying that they've been baffled seeing the idea of Isaac Paredes being levied as a trade possibility mm-hmm. for the Astros. And I think that I get where you're coming from. He was a very disciplined hitter and was kind of what helped you as a team be better mm-hmm. disciplined. But then he also probably, of the guys that you'd be willing to trade, would have significantly the most value that you could trade. He is a piece that I think teams would want, and maybe you could utilize that to get to
I think you could absolutely. No one would want to. He was great for this squad, obviously outside of the injury. But I think you could get a lot of value there.
Especially because Carlos Correa seems to be holding down third defensively in a way that I had not anticipated with him coming over. Mm-hmm. And he stepped in as a leader, which is you absolutely needed.
Now, could you trade Christian Walker and use Paredes as a first baseman?
I don't know if after the season that he had.
You have all spring.
You could trade him, but I think that you'd have to put some money on it. Yeah. Which
you get the best value with Isak.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think all of the problems that we're talking about, the vacancies and the log jams, I think that there's something that you can do about a lot of these other places. Maybe even Zach DiCenzo gets more time, mm-hmm. obviously if he is healthy and not dealing with the injuries that everybody seemed to. But the one log jam that I think is not fixable mm-hmm. in a way that feels comfortable for the entirety of the season is you have two guys that you really should be DHing.
Yeah.
Or they're platooning at left field in a way that feels uncomfortable, and that's Altuve and Paredes.
You want them both,
or not Paredes, Altuve and Jordan.
You want them both to play 150 games plus, or 145, 150 games, but you can't, you know, play both of them at 150 games at DH or left field. You know, you don't want to do that. Maybe you can rotate them enough to be able to make it work, but it's still not ideal. And then and really the other thing that's all of a sudden. You know, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, but certainly is magnified now more than ever, is outside of Hunter Brown, what's your starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be
something. Because Fromber's gone.
It feels very evident. Yeah. If we are going to be honest about the MO of Jim Crane and the way that this organization is mm-hmm. operated, plus, I think, if you can look at the way that Fromber Valdez kind of carried himself, and not to say that I'm necessarily blaming him for the feelings that it feels like he had, he does seem like he's anticipating being here either. So yeah, you need to figure some of those out because again, I don't know that it'd be smart for you to go into another season going, we're just going to depend on dudes getting healthy.
Yeah, well, and on that note, I mean, Spencer Arrighetti, you know, he's going to be out. Luis Garcia, he's going to be out. You know, who knows? Obviously, you have Jason Alexander, but that kind of came out of nowhere. Christian Javier, who knows? Like, your starting rotation is probably it's a bigger problem than it was going into last year, and you needed rotation help.
Yeah, so, I mean, There's definitely a lot to be figured out, and that was understood, right? We mm-hmm. knew that just looking at the construction. But I just keep looking at the very particular of the Altuve and Alvarez dilemma. I'm going to go that far. And mm-hmm. it's funny to call it a dilemma because Jordan, when he is healthy and when he is on, problem. He's a problem for teams.
No, but it is a dilemma.
But yeah, I think that exists, and I think that creates the weirdest thing because – and the fair point that I think Chandler Rome made about this is not just is this a logjam at a position. It's also at the position that a reasonable manager, and I think Espada does this as well, would also still use as a place to get like a half day off is mm-hmm. what they would call it. Mm-hmm. For other, so that also puts you in a tough place with the other players that you wouldn't want to keep them getting at bats while you try and get them off their feet. And you can't do that because you've got two dudes that need to play a DH and you only have one DH spot. You know, like I think that this is a very interesting, and there's not really a good way out of it because I could not in good conscience tell you to like move off either of those dudes any real way.
So, and then you mentioned, you know, Altuve. I mean, obviously we know that, you know, he slacked off at the end of the season, but you still, until otherwise, you still got to have him every day. Every day possible, you know, in the lineup somewhere, whether it's DH or left field, and neither one of those is ideal.
Champ Slice puts this on the YouTube. Let Jordan play left field at home and then away games be permanent DH. Would you be cool with that kind of split without necessarily considering who the hitters are?
See, the frustration is Jordan should just be a DH in a perfect world. Just be a DH. Given his history, given, you know, obviously, you know, the number of injuries But you can't. You can't just make him a DH because you're going to use Jose Altuve there a lot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.